And first of all, Jamie, could you let me know exactly who's here and who's not here and where we are with our membership here?
I'll just call roll.
Great.
Justice Cherry?
Here.
Justice Seda? Justice Stiglich? Judge Armstrong?
Here.
Bob Bell? Jeremy Bosler? David Carroll?
Here.
Alex Cherup? Drew Christensen?
Here.
Joni Easley?
Yes.
Judge Fairman?
Here.
Franny Forsman?
Here.
Judge Herndon? Chris Hicks? Judge Higgins?
Hello, this is Judge Schlettenelch.
Hi, Judge. Judge Higgins? Kristen Hill?
Here.
Dana Levack?
Here.
Judge Kaysen? Phil Cohn? Michael Kagan? Karen Krenzenbeck?
Here.
Chris Lawley?
Present.
John Lambros? John McCormick?
Here.
Judge Montero? Mark Picker? Rochelle Resnick? Amy Rose?
On the phone.
Diane Roth? Sean Rowe? Judge Schlegelmilch?
Yep, I'm on the phone.
Judge Shirley? Judge Simons?
My phone.
John Slaughter? Dagny Stapleton?
Here.
Jonelle Thomas?
Here.
Judge Wonker? Jeff Wells? Judge Young?
I'm here.
Thank you. We have a quorum, barely.
Thank you very much, Jamie. As far as public comment is concerned, because of time considerations, the period for public comment by each speaker may be limited. Speakers are urged to avoid repetition of comments already made by previous speakers. Is there anybody from the public who would like to make a comment in any of the jurisdictions that are involved in this defense? Hearing none, we'll move on to a review and approval of the January 17th the meeting summary. Has everybody had a chance to review it? I hope so. Is there a motion by Tom Armstrong to approve the summary?
So moved.
And Karen, do you second it?
I do.
Okay, is there any discussion? Hearing none, the summary is approved. Next, David Carroll is on the phone. He's been a great consultant to the Nevada Right to Counsel Commission. And David, I want you to give a complete report as to where we are with the Nevada Right to Counsel Commission and your work as our consultant. It's all yours, Dave.
Okay, thank you, Justice Cherry. The Sixth Amendment Center has been hard at work doing the assessment of the indigent defense systems in your state and the rural parts of the state. First of all, I want to say just publicly that we've received just unbelievable cooperation from judges, from county representatives, from sheriffs, from prosecutors as we've gone. I'd also like to publicly thank both Jamie and John McCormick. I feel I've been hounding them with questions, and they've been great about getting surveys out to the various judges in the various courts for information that we need. We believe we are about 97% certain that we now know every single indigent defense provider in the state. We're just doing some confirmation as far as tertiary conflicts in the rural parts of the state, but we really think we know exactly how every system is set up to function and who's doing the work, which is, you would think it would be relatively straightforward, and in most states we've studied, we've never gotten that close to a complete accounting. And I think it speaks volumes to the people in your state and the cooperation we've received. When we initially set out to do this study, usually we do a certain random sample of counties to go and do in-depth studies, to do court observations and in-depth interviews. And we did that in our original proposal, and we decided on 5 counties that we would go for an in-depth sort of look. Those were Lander, Elko, Nye, Lyon, and I'm forgetting one. I'm sorry. But anyways, the point is, once we got out and we did the initial studies, we realized there's a couple things we were missing. One was that we didn't have enough representation of the very smallest counties. So we've added in Esmeralda, Lincoln, and Humboldt was the other one, I'm sorry, and Humboldt, just to sort of have a closer look at some of the smaller ones. But even then, we started doing the site work, and we realized just because someone provides representation in one county may mean they're also working in another county, or that their office is in yet a third county, that the geographic expanse of your state and how the population centers are constructed, we really had to throw out the playbook for how we usually do these type of studies. And so what we asked the NRTCC was to allow us to do a couple things. One was that we wanted to just basically embed one of our lawyers in your state for a couple weeks and literally drive from justice court to justice court, checking in on municipal courts in all of the rural counties, to just sort of live that life, to experience what the drives are like, to see where there's cell phone service and not, so that you can understand what lawyers can and can't do during their day as they're undertaking some of these drives. So starting next Monday, our lawyer, Mike Tartaglia, is doing precisely that, spending 2 days just going from county to county, seeing, doing court observations and doing some one-on-one interviews with judges and lawyers in the areas where they're actually practicing. We also realized if we have to make recommendations about how the system may or may not best operate, we also had to look at a couple other things. One was that municipal courts, if the NRTCC is ultimately going to be something that is a permanent oversight board, the state's 14th Amendment obligations include oversight of the municipal courts. And even though this IDC body has felt good about the representation in Washoe and Clark, there has been some concerns raised about the municipal court representation in those areas. So we've also agreed that on our site visits that we'll find time to pop into the municipal courts in the urban areas just to get a sense of how that representation is going. And so that's sort of the broad status. Oh, the other thing we realized is that we need to do some look at the existing state public defender, just to get a sense of what their representation is like and issues that could be seen there, and making recommendations for the future of state oversight in the system. And so we've really basically just thrown out the initial playbook based on our experience. One of the things I think this group needs to hear is we've been relatively surprised about how deep the DK 411 resolutions have gone in impacting representation. Sometimes courts will pass administrative orders and they sort of go right by the courts on the regional level and the lower level. We've actually think the impact of the ADK 411 is much more than we had ever anticipated finding, which I think speaks volumes to the work this group has done for so many years. We also at this point, while we're out in the field doing this work, we also don't like doing too much reporting because it could impact how other places we go to may react if they hear one thing about one state, one county, or how we perceive things. But I do want to, I think it's important to say that I personally went to Lyon County, and my work focused specifically on Dayton and Urington, looking at both the justice and the municipal courts. And I thought the representation there was very good, not just passable, but very good. It may or may not hold up to the other counties as we go there, but it was important, at least for us, to say in the first instance we saw some very good things, and we were pleasantly surprised by it, including when I was in Dayton court. Sometimes we get concerned about non-lawyer judges, but I saw what I thought was perhaps the best non-lawyer judge I had witnessed in my career, as far as doing real individualized colloquies to people, making sure that any waivers really were knowing and intelligently made, and really taking individualized care from case to case. So I thought, considering all the things that we've heard in this group from the rurals and how people perceived certain aspects of it, I just wanted you to know that in our first deep dive, we were pleasantly surprised by what we saw. With that, until we've completed the site work, I'm not going to really say anything more about what we're seeing. Other than to just say that we've changed sort of the game plan, and that we're receiving just very great cooperation across the board. So with that, I will entertain any questions. I can't say whether I'll answer them or not at this point in time, but that's the status of where we are. And we still are on track to finish the work well in advance of the legislative deadline. There you go. And
David?
I'll take any questions. Yes.
Yeah, it's Joni Eastley in Nye County. Will we be able to review written evaluations at some point as the site visits are completed?
Well, we're going to take our direction from the Rights Council Commission. I can tell you what we've done in other jurisdictions, and that is, we don't enjoy nor want to do gotcha politics. We would prefer that the work, once it's committed to paper, be sent to the jurisdictions for comment. There's, on any report this size, I can tell you we're going to get one or two things wrong. That's just the nature of the beast. But more so, we may overemphasize or underemphasize things that stakeholders think we may not have understood completely. So that's going to be our request, certainly. We think it's the right way to go. But it is the commission, that so we feel we can only recommend, we can't dictate. But that would be our recommendation, Johnny, absolutely.
Thank you.
David, it's Justice Cherry. We have representatives from the Muni Court and from various Muni Courts, from Justice Courts. What can they do to help you with your evaluations for the Nevada Right to Counsel Commission? What do they need to do?
Well, Justice Cherry, I've got to say, everything we've asked so far has been done. You know, there's a couple of the justice courts and a couple of the district court judges that haven't responded to the surveys that Jamie and John have sent out. It's nothing disturbing. It's certainly things we can follow up with calls. I actually feel like everything we've asked, we've had people pay attention to and gotten. I feel like we have, you know, 95% of all the contracts. There's one county that we're missing the contracts from, but the district court judge there has assured me that he will make sure that he can get it for us. Really, I think it's just letting the judges know when we're going to be in their area, when we're going to be in court, and just allowing us the access to be able to sit in court and listen and then review with them afterwards what we see. There's no single piece of information that we haven't been able to get that we wanted thus far. So I can't think of any specific ask of the judges right now other than to, again, comment that those that we've been in touch with have been exceedingly cooperative on everything.
From what you know at this point, how do we stand with the, especially municipal courts, as far as right to counsel, with Argus-Singer decision and jail time, if all the situations that you're running into in some of the municipal courts?
So
what could you
do? So right now, yeah, the issues we are seeing, I will say, even in Lyon County, when there was an issue, it was in municipal courts, not in justice courts or district court. Generally, we are seeing people that are going unrepresented that should have counsel. Even when they are asked if they want counsel, there may be instances where a municipal court judge may say, well, you can get a lawyer, but it's going to cost you $250, which can chill the right to counsel and really requires an individualized questioning of the defendant to see if they really can afford to pay that or not. I think some of that can be done through training. Some of that has to be done through making sure that the state understands what's going on in municipal courts. But there certainly are issues that are raising themselves at that level along those lines. And we have seen people go unrepresented that we certainly feel should have had an attorney.
What about Karen's state public defender? Is there some information you can give her at this time about what you're finding out about state public defenders? So
right now, we haven't gone to any of the courts that they represent in either Carson or Story. We've gotten information on their structure and their staffing and how they staff Story County. I know Karen was away for a little bit. I've asked for detailed information on their budget, which I assume will be coming. But there will be, at some point, we'll want to actually interview Karen and some of her staff and maybe do some court observations, but we haven't figured out exactly when that'll be. I'm going to certainly try to piggyback it on to a commission meeting when I'm expected to be in Carson City anyways, but we just haven't gotten that far along because we're really focusing on what's happening in the rural areas first and foremost.
Do any of the commission members have any questions from David Carroll? We've had three meetings. We had a meeting in January, February, and March. Our next meeting is April 30th.
25th.
April the 25th. And again, we have it in the Grant Sawyer building in Las Vegas, even though they have mold. I don't know if you read about that. It makes the Attorney General sick. And then we also have it here at the legislative at the fourth floor of the Nevada Legislature. So of course, all commission members are welcome to attend. I know Dagny's been with us and Karen's been with us a few times, but it's an interesting commission meeting. The people seem to very much enjoy being on this commission and see that the injured defense is necessary. I must say that I was recently with Jason Fireson, and I was talking about the need for indigent defense. And of course, his reaction was every portion of the state needs more funds. And so it's gonna be a real problem to see what about getting more judges or getting more help with indigent defense or whatever as far as the judiciary is concerned. So it's gonna be an uphill fight in 2019, whatever we come up with our bill draft for indigent defense. I just want everybody to know in advance. It'll be a relatively new legislature since many are not running for re-election, but we'll see what happens.
Justice Jerry, this is Christopher Lawley.
Hey, Chris, yes.
I was invited to attend the next meeting. I know that Chris Hicks, the Washoe County District Attorney, was also invited to attend the next meeting. Is there is there some information that prosecutors are specifically going to be asked to impart? Is there some information we should bring with us? Is there any insight into why we're being invited to the next council meeting?
Chris, let me have David Carroll answer that question, because he's come up with the idea of what we call listening groups. And it's very important. We've had some law enforcement people before us, and now we need some prosecutors. Dave, could you answer Chris Lally's? He's the assistant district attorney in Clark County and a good friend of Indigent Defense. Both he and Steve Wolfson.
Certainly.
They've been great as far as Indigent Defense is concerned. Go ahead, Dave.
Certainly. When we're out doing the field work, we always want to do interviews, not just with the indigent defense providers, but everyone involved in the system, so including sheriffs and prosecutors and judges. And so we find that some of the best ideas or thoughts come from people who you might not think would be focused on some of this stuff. So for instance, we heard from the sheriffs, and certainly out in the field we're hearing about this, how broken indigent defense systems really impact their operations, because if you're transporting people from the jail to the court only to have continuances asked for, that's not the most efficient use of their time. Or if they have issues with the number of pretrial detainees versus post-sentencing, because attorneys are not appointed early in the process, or things like that. And so we always want to sit with the prosecutors and get their perspective on what's working and what's not working with the indigent defense system, how they would make changes if they could. My initial psych visit in Lyon County, I had very good conversations with some assistant district attorneys, and my colleague talked with the district attorney himself. And so what we really advised the commission was, is as we're doing our site work, again, we don't want to report out with each individual county we visit until we sort of formed opinions. We also don't want the commission to have to hear everything through our prism. They're ultimately going to be the ones making recommendations to the legislature. And so we feel it's a value to the commission to hear directly from the constituency groups. So we said, as we're doing our work, you might want to reach out to the prosecutors, to the sheriffs, to the judges, to the county managers, and invite them to come and talk to you directly about what problems they're experiencing or what they think is going really well, so that when they're making their recommendations to the legislature, they have that direct one-on-one experience in addition to our report and our perspectives. So there's really no single thing the prosecutors should come to other than their experiences, what they like about the system, don't like, and any suggestions they may have for how services can be improved and made more effective or efficient. That's really the idea.
Thank you.
Any other questions with David? David, one other comment that we talked about at the commission, we talked about the future of the IDC, and my colleagues have not opposed the fact that I continue as the chairman of this Indigent Defense Commission, because with caseload standards and other things that we're still working on, you were favorable that we continue with the IDC, is that correct?
Yes, I think especially until we know what the future holds, what the commission's going to recommend, what the legislature is willing to consider, debate, and hopefully pass. I just think we've proven that this group has been able to make a certain amount of improvements and has worked very collaboratively. I don't think we should give up on any option until we sort of have a clear pathway forward in the future. So I would recommend that this group continue in the work that it's doing.
Well, thank you, David. Let's move on to an update on caseload standards. Hans, you're there. Would you give a report on that, how you're doing? And I do appreciate everything you do with your statistics. You're a master of statistics.
Thanks, Justice. What you have in your materials is basically a summary of 26 and 2017 fiscal year. After I produced this report, we did receive a report from the Washoe Alternative Public Defender's Office. He provided us with some additional information, and I'll just read that out. There were 500 new appointments and 333 cases adjudicated with the Washoe Alternative Public Defender's Office. So that would be in addition to what you see in the totals that are provided. We received that, like I said, prior to us, or just after we completed this report to Jamie for the materials for the meeting. If you have any specific questions or concerns as you look through this, I'm happy to answer any questions or try to address those concerns.
This is Franny. So we don't have statistics on this chart, Hans, for contract lawyers in Washington Court.
I haven't received any reports or statistics from any contract.
Are there any other counties where that's also missing? I just want to be able to make sense of the numbers if they include, like, for instance, those counties that also have a public defender, do we know if we have these are contract lawyer numbers?
In almost every instance except for in Washoe and Clark, these are coming from district courts who are reporting their statistics based on the information in their CMS. So we don't receive the reports from contract attorneys in any district.
So this is coming from the district court. Would that also include public defenders in those few counties that have public defenders?
Elko County does, their public defender does provide us their statistics.
So this number would include both the public defender and any contract?
It just comes from the public defender's office, so I'm not sure if this is what it includes.
Any other questions, Hans?
Wait, the other public defender that we have is where?
Carson.
And Carson and also Pearson or one more?
Humboldt and Pershing.
Humboldt, and so these numbers are kind of...
Humboldt and Pershing I get from the district courts.
Right.
So would that include the defender stats as well as the contracts?
That they should include the district to court appointments here should include in the instances where there's the institutional office, it includes that number. And then, since they're counting appointments, it would include if there's conflict contract appointments, right. But it doesn't necessarily break it out. Because
we don't have that right now.
Okay. So yeah,
it's
I just
not for me
sure
to verify, so it should be for all of them.
Carson City? Carson City is a state fee.
So, right. So when I.
No, we did not receive a report.
Well, there's a conflict. Somebody just alluded to Is that reflected somehow? Is that placed on inactive status? Is that what happens when we have them on? How do we know?
No, we don't have a breakout of those contract attorneys, so there's no way for us to really know that because we get these information from the district court. It's only based upon the appointment that the district court makes in most instances. Where we have a public defender or special public defender's office or things like that to send us statistics, that information is included in the report. For instance, if you look at Clark County, they have both the public defender and special public defender office because we get statistics from that, both those offices. Where, and I, as I just indicated, we gave alternate public defender's office information for Washoe, but in all those other counties, it's coming from the district court. District court, which, as Mr. Cormack indicated, includes all appointments, contract and regular public defenders if they have that office.
Excuse me, Hans?
Yes.
Do these numbers not include those appointments made in the justice and municipal courts that stay there, that don't go up to the district court? I mean, that's a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Are they captured here or not?
They are not. These statistics are only for district courts. They do not include the justice court.
So if the appointment is made in justice court to a felony, will it be counted here, even though the district court isn't technically making an appointment, the justice court is?
In my understanding of the way the case management system captures this information, yes, it's that representation carries through into the district court. They mark that as indigent defense, and it'll capture these statistics.
That's if the case proceeds to district court.
Correct.
But there's got to be at the misdemeanor level, district court's never going to see it.
There's got to be a whole chunk of cases that are getting, that are staying in justice court.
Majority of cases.
Let me ask David to comment on that. David, we understand that we can get these statistics from public defenders. How do we work with the contract attorneys on this? How do we ever get to that issue on caseload standards? I know you'll find out some information in the field, but what about this commission finding out, like a contract attorney? Well, Drew, maybe you can answer the question too.
I just have to submit to Hans our numbers. In order for them to get paid, they have to submit their monthly totals, the following totals every month. So I'll update these numbers with the complex against the Clark County. So that'll give another piece of the puzzle about how many cases are in Clark County.
But the case management system should reflect it, again, except for those justice court cases that stay there, right? When, if all of the numbers came from district court, you'd find out how many the total was, right?
In theory. I mean, the public defender, those numbers are both justice court and district court.
Right.
If we match up with district court, the only cases that should be outside that realm probably retain.
Yeah, see, this is my concern, is that it seems that we can't really look at these numbers to represent, you know, when they're different, your different mixes of cases. You see what I'm saying? There's some of them are just PD cases, some of them are PD cases but no contract lawyer cases. So to be able to look and do any sort of comparative stuff, it would be tough to do with the data we have right now. It's not your fault, Hans. You know, it's we've always struggled with data. That's always been our problem. So I don't know what needs to happen to solve that.
Well, aren't the district court clerks or the district courts reporting the numbers? And why would they be different then? Why aren't those good numbers?
I think the concern, Judge, this is John McCormick, is that they're not capturing the offenses that stay at the limited jurisdiction level. So the DUIs, the domestic violences that have that jail time attached to it. These numbers aren't reflective of that because those cases never go up to the district court. So this is a good representation of probably felony and gross appointments, but we have kind of that hole on the misdemeanor appointments, I think is the concern, if I'm understanding correctly.
Right. Well, and to provide some perspective on how we even got most of these district court numbers, the district court shared a common case management system. And so we were able to work with that case management system vendor and say, okay, if we provide you the statistics we want, and we, you know, how much is that going to cost? Well, that estimate came back, if I remember correctly, it's been a couple of years now, but I think it was like $8,000 or $9,000. Well, we had some funding through a grant process, and we were able to apply to that and get that information out of the case management system. In justice courts, we have 47 justice courts, and we have, of those 47 justice courts, probably about 20 different case management systems, all of which would maybe be $8,000 to $10,000. So it's really cost prohibitive to go to those courts, at least right now, for our standpoint, to get that type of information or that level of detail.
But the second issue, so we're sort of clear on, is that there's three counties, and I want to make sure I'm clear on it too, is that there's three counties, Elko, Humboldt, and Pershing, and in those counties, we have only public defender statistics and not conflict counsel statistics. Is that right?
They're coming from the district court in those counties, so my assumption is in Humboldt, Pershing counties.
And Elko?
Elko is coming from the public defender's office.
Okay.
So only in Humboldt and Pershing, I would assume that they are all appointments for contract and public defender offices. In Elko, I can't make that assumption. But I could ask and find out more.
That's your assignment, Hans, for the next meeting to get us some more information on an update on caseload status. But at least we're making some inroads into this issue. Any other questions for Mr. Jessup? Thank you, Hans. Amy Rose, is there anything you want to comment on?
Just that we are in the middle of our lawsuit challenging failure to provide indigent defense in the state of Nevada. We are in the stage right now where we're just in a class certification stage and doing some discovery. I'm sure some people on the phone have gotten some Public Records Act requests. There's people in the room and some subpoenas from us. And I know we've been working to try to get lots of data, lots of different dockets, and just doing a deeper dive into all of the data for class certification right now. So that's pretty much the gist of what's happening at the moment. And we'll keep you all updated as we go along. I'm sure you all will hear about it and from us as well, with everyone who's involved in it. And I just want to say for anyone on the phone also, I know we are working with a lot of the counties to get information, dockets, records, jail records, and otherwise. So if you ever have a question about what we've requested from you, or if you know, there's a concern, or you want to, you know, you need more time, please just give me a call or send me an email, and we can try to work to make sure you know, it's as easy as possible for you to get the records to us.
Amy, would it be possible on the 25th that you would give an update to the Nevada Right to Counsel Commission? Because there's some people who are not
sure
involved in IDC that are on that commission. I'm sure they'd be interested in hearing an update from you and meeting you.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
We're at the Grant Center building in here. That's where we are, right? The Grant Center building in here? Yeah, that's right. So we appreciate your appearance on the 25th, and we meet at 9 o'clock. If you can come anytime, I'll get you on and get you out as necessary. Thank you.
Perfect. That sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks, Amy. Let's do a status update on indigent defense in Clark County. Drew, what have you got? How are you doing on your conference stuff?
As far as the office goes, status quo, I'll kind of speak for Phil as well. Phil had to be out of jurisdiction today.
Right.
We all kind of wait as a criminal justice partners in Clark County to see how the county and the courts regarding to procedurally react on changes in the justice court level with respect to domestic violence court, now that may impact the DA's office, us, public defender's office, and conflict counsel. We should know probably by the end of May. The budget for the county has to be by the end of May. So that'll give us some clarification as to how we're seeing how we're staffing some of these various specialty courts or specialized courts in the future. But as far as my specific office, status quo. With David on the line, if he's still there, I'd like to publicly thank him. He introduced me. I'm part of the Nevada Right to Counsel Commission as well. And part of David's team was the same counsel coordinator for the entire state of Massachusetts, who recently retired. And while she was out in the community dealing with the Nevada Right to Counsel data collection efforts, I had the pleasure of spending a day with her and kind of picking her brain on how assigned counsel programs are working in other parts of the country. And so, David, if you're on the phone, thank you. That connection works.
That's great news. Anything you wanted to add about the public defender's office? And how about recruitment? Are you still recruiting for conflict counsel, some of the younger attorneys?
We do, Judge. We have recruitment twice a year. We'll have our next panel of interviews at the end of May. I know Phil has some openings, and so there's recruitment there. Joelle has, with a special public defender, has some opening.
Just one. Just my spot.
But you have a lot of applicants, so.
Yeah, so we're just about full.
Well, that's kind of it, Justice Chair.
Well, thank you, Drew, and let's congratulate Jonelle Thomas, who was a top-notch appellate attorney for the Special Public Defender, and so top-notch that she's now the Special Public Defender and follows in the footsteps of myself and Phil Cohn and Dave Sheik, and now Jonelle. Congratulations to you. I hope you'll still argue some cases before the Supreme Court because you're top-notch and we like hearing from you. And sometimes you make inroads. You make inroads with even my conservative colleagues, so keep up the good work. How you doing,
Not
nearly special?
Nearly often enough.
How you doing, lady? Tell us about the special public defender.
So, I think as most of you probably know, we only do cases that have a potential of a life sentence or murder or capital cases. We're very busy. We're at 18 attorneys now. The cases just keep pouring in. We've been declining death penalty cases because we're at our limit. But we're taking all other kinds of cases right now and just keeping busy.
How are you doing with the new murder team that the judges have in the 8th Judicial District? Because Chris will talk about that, but I wanted to get your view also for the Defense Commission.
Much of it is going well. There's some tweaking that needs to be done.
It's more positive than negative, I hope?
I think so. There are some good parts. I've actually, Chris might not know this, talked with Pamela Curley about sitting down and having a meeting. I think there's some areas of agreement between the DEA's office and the defense attorneys where maybe we can teach some judges a few tricks that might make things go a little smoother.
That's great. Anything else you want to add, Janelle?
I think that's about it. I'm looking forward to getting to know you all.
And also, you're, of course, welcome to come to the Nevada Right to Counsel Commission at any time and give your views on the Special Public Defender. There are some people on that commission that really don't know about the Special Public Defender's Office, even though I tried to impart my knowledge of it. So you're welcome to come anytime. We're going to try to meet every month between now and 2019. Also, how about Jeremy? Are you on? Are you? What do we have? Reno on the phone?
Yeah, Reno's on the phone.
Jeremy, what's going on with you in Washoe?
Good afternoon, Justice. Present here in Washoe County is Mr. Slaughter, our county manager, Chris Hicks, Mark Picker, and I. Things are going well. Business is good in Washoe County. The Public Defender's Office is at capacity or over capacity in almost every practice area. We are severely over capacity in the area of involuntary commitments, and we've been having ongoing discussions with county management regarding budget. I think budgets can be relatively flat this year, and so we're trying to discuss other alternatives that may be available. Right now, both the Public Defender's Office and Alternate Public Defender's Office are declaring unavailability in new family court cases, which is putting some strain on the system, but it's regrettable, but that's the way it is. We also have reached out to Clark County. We are looking at our appointed counsel administrator position and whether there are efficiencies to be gained and other ways to do that service. And thank you to Drew for sitting down with me and kind of spending an hour on the phone with me. Hopefully we're going to have some idea how that works with our model plan and what we can do with that by July 1st. We also, at least at the Clark County's office, I know Mr. Picker has some immigration expertise in his office, but we're, for the Washoe County Public Defender's Office, trying to bolster our Padilla practice, and that's also a resource strain. Of note, also in Washoe County, is we've had a long-going concern about both the Public Defender's Office and District Attorney's Office being able to maintain vertical representation in cases, and we've been working with the District Court to try to figure out how we could get more information to help with our calendaring and case assignments. That is a ongoing discussion, I guess is the best way to put it. Lastly, I know that we are one of the pilot sites for pretrial release, and we were luckily invited to one of the district court judges meetings last month to talk about our impressions of how pretrial release process works for the litigants. And I think there's been some recent cases that have caused concern for parties, and Heather Condon's going to use those as teaching instruments. But by and large, we think the pretrial release system is working a little bit better than the strictly cash bail system we had previously, but I know there's some room for improvement. And those are all the things I had to talk about. Anything else, Chris, Mark?
Well, Mark, let me first congratulate you for being the successor to Ms.
Jennifer Lund.
Jennifer Lund.
Thank you.
Congratulations. How are you doing with the alternate public defender in Washoe?
Doing pretty well, Your Honor. We've in the same kind of position that Jeremy just talked about. You know, business is booming, unfortunately. I'll blame Chris for that, I guess. We're about a third higher in new cases than we were a year ago. We're even more than that in family court cases. So we're adjusting our staff. Also, about 2 years ago, the alternate public defender took over all the specialty courts in Washoe County, other than Muni Court. And of course, that population has boomed in the last year. And in fact, the Second Judicial District Court just issued a number of new bench cards to its judges 2 weeks ago, outlining what all the courts, what all the specialty courts requirements are, and that has resulted in about twice as many referrals in the last 2 weeks than we had before that. So that's booming, but things are going pretty well. We have on top of the third more cases, we have about a third more Cat A felony cases as well. So we're all trying to work well together and structure things as best we can, and that's what we're doing.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled that John Slaughter is able to participate in the Nevada Right to Counsel. He's just a county manager for Washoe. It's so great to have John in with us. John, you have anything you wanted to add?
I don't, other than to say thank you for that. I really do intend to dig in and on both commissions, and happy to be here.
And District Attorney Hicks, do you have anything you'd like to add? Thank you for participating in the Indigent Defense Commission. Of course, you're look forward to having you appear before our commission in on April 25th. Chris,
I don't have anything to add. Other than, you know, as my counterpart said, resources are scarce, but we're working hard, and we all work very well together, which is a positive thing for the community. I am unable to attend the April 25th. I'm glad you brought that up, Justice Cherry. I'm not able to go to that meeting. I'm happy to send my chief or my assistant district attorney in my criminal division, if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or
that'd be great.
Come to another meeting.
That'd be great, because we've had good success with the assistants. Chris Lally's been wonderful, and I'm sure the Washoe County person will be the same. So we look forward to that. Karen, how about the state public defender? How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. It's pretty much status quo. We're having the same issue with being flooded by involuntary commitments. In fact, we're sitting down with the hospital and the court staff and the district attorney's office on Friday to try and make them follow the procedures that they're supposed to, because they're not. And I believe the city has now contracted with Washoe Legal Services to provide extra representation for juveniles that kicked in after this last legislature. So we just met with the county manager. They're happy with us, and everything's just moving along, like you guys said. No shortage of business for us either.
How about staffing? You got room for some more attorneys?
Nope, we're at full capacity.
Can you get some more? Are you allowed to get some more?
You know what? We're building our budget now, and I'm getting the impression that, like the other offices, it's going to be flat. I don't think they're going to allow us. Usually they start out with, we have to take a 5% cut, but then they realize there's nothing to cut. So they just leave us alone, hopefully.
Any information from the Federal Public Defender's Office?
Good afternoon, Justice Terry. This is Lori Tiger here on behalf of the Federal PD.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you? We are still your next door neighbor downtown in Las Vegas to this court. The federal courts are very busy as well. And as always, we're here to support the work of this committee and help out however we can.
How's that U.S. attorney from Texas doing?
She's fine.
I was just curious about relationships between the federal public defender and the new U.S. attorney for Nevada. Just curious, having been involved in the federal public defender as an attorney for a number of years doing federal work.
She's fine. She is very busy talking to all the members of her staff and has reached out and had us sit down with Renee as well. So we look forward to seeing what she is going to be doing with that office.
And do you guys have any Pardons Board stuff coming up on May 1st and 2nd? I think we have Pardons Board here.
We do have one, Your Honor.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laurie. How about Chris Lally? Chris, how are we doing on that, that what I call the dream team of judges who are working on homicide cases in Clark County?
Well, as Joe Nell alluded to, I think it's going well. When I was here last time, I reported that in the first 6 months of operation, the district court resolved 75 murder cases, either by trial or by plea. And, you know, what does that mean? Is that good? Is that bad? And so after I had reported that at a couple of places, I went back and I looked at the preceding 6 months. And what I determined was that in the preceding 6 months, the district court, and certainly all parties involved, had resolved 50 cases, 50 homicide cases, to the number, either by plea or by trial. So it would appear that this new pilot program is resolving cases at a rate of about 50% more, which is a good thing. However, if we look at the year 2017, the 6 months of the pilot program and the preceding 6 months, we resolved 125 murder cases. That's the good news. The bad news is that we filed, the district attorney's office filed 152 murder cases in 2017. So we're moving backwards, unfortunately. That's due to the rate of increase in violent crime in Clark County. We're hoping that we will even be more efficient. I've had conversations with Scott Hobby about this. He thinks that, you know, there might have been a ramping up period, and the system was not operating as efficiently as it could have at the beginning. So it'll be interesting to look at the next 6 month period to see how many cases we've resolved and to see how we're doing. There are a lot of homicide cases, and I think, as Joe Mel also alluded to, I think all the parties are working very, very well together. Appointed counsel, special public defender, and the public defender's office.
Well, I think so, the idea is a good idea, Chris, and I'm glad you guys are following through with it. One of the things I wanted to add or to ask is I know that you have a nice relationship with the special public defender, with the Clark County Public Defender. How are you doing with Drew's appointed counsel on capital murder where there's conflicts or on homicide cases in general? Is there anything we can do to help you out there?
Yeah, Drew's a big problem. He's hard to get along with and he's hard to work with, we all know.
That's my vice chairman of the commission of the Veterans Council. So yeah. Be careful now.
You know, there are some, what I would say is there are some very, very good lawyers who do capital defense in Clark County. And I think we're all fortunate to have that luxury here. It helps, obviously, the clients. It helps us as prosecutors because we live with these cases well beyond the first round of attorneys, as we all know. I think Drew does a great job, and he is obviously a pleasure to work with.
I think it's important, having lived through the 80s when they had to beg, borrow, and steal to have people represent when there was conflicts, there was no special public defender, and there was a murder team with the Clark County Public Defenders. But if there were conflicts, people didn't really want to take the cases. And we're still seeing some of those cases because of the ineffectiveness of the counsel that was appointed by the district court judges. And Drew, it's up to you to make sure that you get the highest quality of lawyers that represent those when there's conflicts with the special public defender and the Clark County Public Defender doing homicide cases. Because they come back to us, they go to the federal court, they come back to us, and it's just, there's no finality to them, and it's bad for everybody. It's bad for the system, too. So please, Drew, make sure that the people that you send out to do the capital murder cases, when there's conflicts with special PD and with Clark County PD, that they're top-notch. That's the I think that's the would be the word of this entire commission and the Nevada Right to Counsel Commission on murder and capital murder cases.
Thank you, Judge. We try. We keep a list of all the active 250 attorneys in the community who, you know, are willing to accept them and, you know, kind of monitor their caseload so they don't get too high at the given time. That's the biggest concern, because we only have a set number of lawyers at the private bar.
Sure.
That can take it. We're constantly evaluating, or I'm constantly evaluating the status of where their case is at and how many they have on their desk.
They're tough to remember. I remember 1980, I did the McKenna case and he got death and it was reversed, and then I did Tamarcio and it was 5 aggravating and no mitigating, and he got life, thank goodness. And then by the time I had the third case, which was a guy had a prior murder in California and killed a prostitute, I said to Mel Harmon, I'm exhausted, I can't do this anymore. He said, well, I've been with you on these other two cases, why am I not exhausted? But he gave me a deal, so I know how tough it is to do capital murder as a appointed counsel. It's real tough. At least the bunny's much better than when I did in 1980. Do we have any other questions of any of the folks that have talked, or anybody have any other business they want to bring forth to the Indigent Defense Commission? We went 59 minutes, which is what I like to do, is about an hour. Thank you, everybody, for attending. We'll probably have a meeting in, Jamie, start looking in late May and early June. And we'll also coordinate it with the Nevada Right to Counsel. Again, I want to remind everybody that the Nevada Right to Counsel is scheduled for April 25th. It starts at 9 o'clock. It's at the Grant Sawyer Building and also at the Legislative Building in Carson City. And you're all welcome to attend at any time. And if you have input, believe me, we'll give you the floor. The folks are very active in making sure that Indigent does the best. Jamie, I want to thank you. John, as always, thank you. Tom, Karen, thank you for being here too. And we're adjourned. Thank you very much.